I gotta throw this one in here because it just needs to be brought up. Where do you think the highest likelihood of domestic violence with regard to partnership, where do you think it is? Between men and women, between same sex marriages or partnerships, where do you think the most occurrence is at?
Wow. That's a great question.
This one will throw you a little, go ahead.
Heterosexual couples.
Same-sex couples are highly likely to have more domestic violence occur. Same-sex. And because we're dealing these days in the last, you know, decade and a half more with the LGBTQ community and such, and the numbers are still solid and rising with regard to domestic violence being with same-sex couples.
You know, I was going to guess the same thing. I didn't have any stats to back it up, but I do know about same-sex. I do know a same-sex couple that there was some domestic violence there, you know. And then let's talk about the three phases. There's the tension-building phase. There's the violent, and these things are self-explanatory pretty much. The violent episode phase and the remorseful honeymoon phase. Okay, let's talk about that a little bit. All right, and where the tension builds, is building, and that could start with just yelling, constant yelling at it. You dumb, and insults and things like that, hurling insults and just, outrageous behavior. Now, keep in mind, that could happen even before he or she puts their hands on you, right?
Generally it does, yes.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And then that's when things get, it's almost like this person is so wound up tight, so tense, that he or she could just, veins popping out of their head and stuff like that. Well, that's the time to get out. Before they put their hands on you, see some veins, leave. Okay.
Yeah, these are all the red flags. These are all the warning signs. I like to akin what you just spoke about to like lighting a fire with rubbing two sticks of wood together to build the heat.
Uh-huh.
Right? So that's the beginning thing. That's where you're building the tension. You're rubbing those sticks. It starts to get hot. And then all of a sudden flame erupts. And that's where you've got the violent episode that occurs. And then once that happens, then the fire gets put out with, oh, I didn't mean to do that, honey. I love you so much. I don't know what I'd do without you. And you're just the love of my life. And I'm so sorry. Here's these words. This will never happen again. So that's your remorseful side in your honeymoon phase.
Wow. 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 And they keep going back. They keep going back because they want to believe. Now, the average person, it's just a human instinct. Nobody really wants to be wrong. Okay, and you certainly don't want to be as wrong about anything. For instance, you could have an elaborate wedding or you got married. Keep in mind, marriage is a huge, huge commitment. I don't care whether it's a big wedding or a small wedding. The fact that you did make that commitment is a huge step. So there are people that know you made that commitment, and nobody wants to walk take that walk of shame. Well, that didn't work out. Well, why didn't it work out? Well, he was abused. Well, you weren't smart enough to detect that. I mean, nobody wants to be embarrassed that way. And keep in mind, can you imagine, you going through the whole thing of getting married, making a big deal, and you find out 6 months later that this is really not, this person is violence. You can't be with this person anymore. Can you imagine have to face? And a lot of people don't want to face their family. They don't want to face their friends and say, you know what? I wasn't smart enough to detect how this person really was, you see. So I think a lot of that is that they tend to stay. So that remorseful honeymoon phase, a lot of times the women will believe, honey, no, baby, I don't know. It was the job. It was this. It was that. And like you said, Mike, it will never, ever happen again. Reverend Dr. Demery.
Well, I would say one of the things that is a factor in preventing or prevention in some of that, not all of it, some of it's going to slip through the cracks, is premarital counseling. And a good premarital counselor, I'm not saying that I'm the best, but I'm pretty good at assessing red flags. And when I see some red flags occur, the first thing I do, I say, you guys need to go see a therapist. It's much more an expert in certain areas than I am, because I see some things that are potential red flags here that you guys need. And if they don't, I'm not going to marry them, you know, because I don't want their blood on my hands.
Absolutely.
And I will tell them very clearly, you know, hey, you need to go get some serious therapy because there's some red flags here. There was this one lady that was had been married 8 times. This was her ninth marriage. And I said, well, there's something going on here that ain't right. You need to go get some therapy and see the root of the problem, because I don't want to get inside of nobody's head. I don't want nobody inside of my head. But sometimes you need to go see a therapist who has, you know, clear clinical training in certain areas. And, you know, particularly with violence, because a good therapist will be able to, you know, cipher out some of those hidden things that people will try to hide. Because I've had people in marriage counseling try to hide things from me. And fortunately, I was able to discover it and allow them to either go get therapy, or they're not going to get married by me. You know, generally, I will marry most people. But when I see red flags come up and there's potential danger on either side, you know, I will definitely say, look, you guys need to go see someone who is a little further expert than I am. And once they give you the clear flag, then you can come back a weekend to talk more about, you know, you guys getting married.
That's, you know,
I applaud you.
That's, you know, that's amazing. Married 8 times, you're exactly right. There is an issue there, Dr. Demery. And I'll guarantee you that this same person who's been married 8 times, it was always the other person's fault.
Well, we never even got that far whose fault it was. All I fault somewhere. You know, beyond what I could deal with.
Right.
So I said, and they never came back after they went to a therapist that I recommended, so I don't know what happened.
Well, they didn't come back.
Vegas or whatever, so.
Yeah. You know, I tell you, Mike, 8 times? Look, 8 times? Getting married 8 times? Oh, behind you, Mike, you have a chart there. And I'm fine. I'm looking at that. I read earlier. And Oklahoma, and you're talking about the domestic violence rates by state. Let's talk. And now, percent of people who have experienced intimate partner violence, rape, or stalking. Yes. And Oklahoma is at the top of the chart.
They're winning.
They're winning. Yeah.
and you can't quite, I don't know if you can see it or not, but on both sides, men and women, they're number one in both categories, men and women, where you see there's a little difference if you look at some of the other states. And I'm sorry, not all 50 states are showing, but this is from highest to lowest.
That is absolutely fascinating. Dr. Dimmer, can you see that? Oklahoma, Kentucky, Nevada. Now that is fascinating. I wouldn't have guessed, well, you know, it could be a money issue there. Okay, gambling. Okay, because gambling is an addiction, you know, and some people look at gambling, that addiction, just like a drug addiction, you know, it's like a cycle that's very difficult for people, to break out of. You know, I have never had that problem. I don't know what that feels like, to be, caught in that web of that gambler, of being a gambler, Dr. Demery. I don't understand. So I'm thinking that's why Nevada is there. Alaska. Okay. You can look at the population in Alaska, Arizona. Huh. Interesting. Indiana, South Carolina, Missouri, Illinois, Washington State, Arkansas. But Oklahoma's at the top. Where's Texas? Is there a problem?
It's in the top 20. It's in the top 15, it looks like.
Yeah, it does look like it's in there. Oregon, Tennessee, West Virginia. Now, West Virginia is right next door, okay? And right next door to Virginia, obviously. But Virginia is not in that top anywhere. And, but
well, now, I'm looking at the whole chart here, William. So I've got everything in front of me. I wasn't able to condense the picture down enough to make it show up, but I'll tell you that Virginia is seventh from the bottom.
Seventh from the bottom. Okay.
And South Dakota is at the bottom. North Dakota above that. New York above that. Rhode Island above that. Idaho above that. Utah above that. And then Virginia. So, and then California is in the, let me see where they're at here. I just saw it too. California is about 14th from the bottom.
Okay. Huh. Interesting. And you know, now West Virginia is a poor state. It's a poor state, but it's still not, but Kentucky. Now I don't know much about Oklahoma, but Kentucky is a poor state as well. I don't know about the economic factors in Oklahoma. I don't have any stats on that. But it also has to do, and I'm looking at the top of the charts here, and economics, I believe, has to play a major, major role into that.
Mississippi, unfortunately, is the poorest state in the union. They have the lowest GOP, gross national product, of any other state in the union. Of 50 states, Mississippi is the poorest of all the states. I don't know where they fall in this thing.
He's about 12th from the top.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yes, it is. Right there. And next to Tennessee and West Virginia. Those are all poor states. Now, Maine is not a poor state. Neither is Vermont. But they follow right behind West Virginia, which is absolutely amazing.
Now, look at Florida. Florida is about, 20 from the top? They're in the top third, Florida, and that's, I think Florida's fairly well off financially, are they not?
I believe that. Now, keep in mind, Florida, also there's a lot of temptation in Florida as well. There's a lot of temptation, you know, you got the beaches and everything like that, so it could be a lot of cheating going on there. It could be. So there are a lot of factors, like we said before, that can attribute to domestic violence. And what was those four areas again? Let's see, we were talking about physical, sexual, psychological, and economic. And keep in mind, like Mike had mentioned earlier today, folks, and please look out for the red flags, because these people, the perpetrators, they are master manipulators. They are master, and for somehow, like I said, they know how to charm you. They know exactly how to charm. They know how to get what they want or get you to a position where you can be put you in a vulnerable position so they can take advantage of you. Again, they will charm you, then they will isolate you. And then one other thing that Morgan was saying right after that, then it's the threat of violence. So they have that fear factor in there because keep in mind, these guys, I've seen movies about domestic violence, and I really hate those movies. And you can see how the person's facial expressions change when they get angry. You know, there are people that get angry, then there are people that they have this crazed look, Dr. Demery, Mike, when they get angry. Okay. That in itself is a red flag. If somebody, gets angry to the point that their physical features change. I mean, a lot of people get angry but there's a difference between, getting angry and a crazed look when someone is angry.
And losing it.
Yep.
Absolutely. So there's losing anger and absolutely losing it and going away.
That's a difference. That's a whole difference. Dr. Dimmer?
Well, we did a whole show, as you remember, William, on the effects of anger and whatnot. And one of the things I think that came out, one of the issues that we discussed is that when you lose control, when you become completely out of control and your anger takes over, there's a slow, calculated relationship between the demonic and the psychological issues behind those who what they call are insane or clinically insane, and people get into, and Mike can probably address this as well, a temporary insanity. I mean, people have been convicted on in court on temporary insanity, why they kill people. That's the difference between first degree and second degree and premeditated and not premeditated.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I think you have to look at the fact that when people and you know, I know part of our society doesn't include spirituality in this issue, but it is. I mean, I have seen some people that were truly, to me, evil. They were pure evil, and you can see it in their face. Well, you were talking about how their change and whatnot. I mean, I remember a few times when I was a cop, I would go to people's homes, and you could see the face of the individual, and you could say, "Oh my Lord, this person is demonically possessed."
Rage. And rage is what you're talking about.
Reproach in terms of trying to reach them, you know.
Mike, you were talking about yesterday the difference, or you mentioned good versus evil, or good and evil. And in a situation like that, and I think someone who would, I want your take on that. Someone who would do this to another individual, okay, and the rage that you're speaking of, the demonic look that you talk about, Dr. Demery, would you consider that an evil person, Mike?
Not necessarily. And let me go back to our being prehistoric animals. And we are animals. We like to think that we're very progressive and that we're all so refined, and we're not. We still are somewhat prehistoric. We still have prehistoric sections in our brain. Let me put it like that. And you are all familiar with fight and flight. And when you get that fight or flight reaction occurring in your brain, it becomes life or death. And I think that rage comes from those areas of the brain that are kind of prehistoric to for survival. And unfortunately, some people don't control those sections of their brain very well, or it gets the best of them. And I think we're back to possibly a chemical imbalance, because you get pumped up with adrenaline and rage, and you do things you wouldn't normally do. It just happens. So do I think that a person that does something like this is in their essence, are they evil? I certainly hope not, but do they have a control issue?
Okay.
Probably. Do they have some imbalance issues? Possibly. Do they have lack of control over certain portions of their brain that cause them to go into fight and flight more easily, perhaps? I'm not sure. I'm just kind of thinking out loud here.
Well, you know, I tell you, I was just thinking about a recent story that I saw, and I don't know what state this is in. I don't remember, but it's been on TV several times over the last couple of weeks. And there's a lady that's been missing, for a while. And the police taking the husband out of the home in handcuffs, and he had the weirdest look on his face. I mean, just
I think they just found her body, by the way. I think yesterday they found her. I'm not sure if it's the same case.
Yeah, they were looking at the dump, I believe, in several different places, right?
He bought a bunch of cleaning supplies. He bought like $400 from Home Depot for cleaning supplies. He Googled on his computer how to dispose of a body. Are we talking about the same one?
Same one. Exactly.
I think they just found her body yesterday.
Okay. But this is so weird. And anyone who does something like that I hate to use the word smart, but he wasn't very smart either. Okay. He's Googling how to dispose of a body. How long does it take a body to
decompose?
And he was even talking about, how long does it take a 110-pound body? I think his wife only weighed like 110 pounds, you know, and different ways to dispose of the body. Now, this clown is Googling that. So that just lets you know that these crooks aren't, or these criminals, they aren't very smart. And I think that a lot of times that that rage that you're going through, that anger that you're going through, that hate that's going through your mind, and sometimes I believe that it clouds your better judgment. What would you say, Mike and Dr. Dimmer?
Well, I completely concur. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We sometimes we're not able to control our thoughts that well, and that's how you end up with people that are zealots and are just emotionally troubled, I guess would be a good way to put it. They've got issues, and they may be chemical issues, or it could be the wiring. I know people that maybe aren't chemically imbalanced, but they just aren't, they're not right in the head.
This is true. What'd you have to say, Doc?
Well, I was going to say that there, and I think Mike is exactly correct, but I still go back to the fact that they have done studies, and they have done psychological studies, like, for example, Night Stalker. I can't remember what his last name was. It was a Hispanic name.
And Ramirez.
Perpetrating Hispanics. But he had done Satan worship, and they had verified it, and he was a verified Satan worshiper. That's why he was able to do what he did. We had on the news, well, you may not have gotten it, but Mike, I'm sure you picked it up. There was I think it was Burbank, or I can't remember where it was. There was 20 people that were killed. Was it 20 or 10 people that were killed? 20 people were injured. They were in a dance studio, and 10 of them died, and 20 were injured totally. And there may be more deaths because of the seriousness of the wounds. This guy went and just started shooting into this place. This happened just this morning.
What?
And I mean, to me, anybody that does something like that, like Mike said, they ain't wired right. Something's
wrong. Yeah, that just happened less than 24 hours ago.
You know, the synapses are overfiring. I mean, there was an individual I saw the other day. I mean, I get emotional just thinking about it. There was a kid, he was a young kid. He killed his one-year-old baby. It was less than a year old, and threw her into the L.A. River like a piece of trash.
Oh, no.
You know,
that struck me at my core being. I said, what type of individual would do something like that? The most innocent of innocent, you know, to kill this little baby and throw her into the L.A. River like a piece of trash.
I think we're talking about two different categories here, because evil can never be dead enough. And I believe that some people are just pure evil. I think, Doc, what you were talking about was Richard Ramirez was the Night Stalker.
Absolutely. Night Stalker.
He was just evil. Now, the other side that I was talking about, that temporary insanity, like, in court, when they convicted that one doctor who was molesting the athletes, the young lady athletes.
Yes.
And was with one of the colleges, I believe, and he was a doctor for them, and he'd been doing it for years. And when they went when they were finishing in court, the one father of the daughter lost it and went after this guy, physically went after it, had to be restrained by the deputies. He lost it temporarily. He went into rage because of what happened to, I think he had two daughters that were molested by this doctor. And he lost it for a moment. That don't make him evil.
No, that's the difference.
It was wrong, but he went away. I mean, he went away when he went after this guy in the courtroom. He asked the judge to give him 1 minute in a room with him alone. I mean, he was that emotionally charged. Now, Richard Ramirez and these other guys, they're not emotionally charged. They're emotionally deranged.
Yeah, that's the difference there. I couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. And this is now, but I didn't hear about the story that you guys were talking about where this guy shot up a bunch of people. This happened in California.
Asian guy that, he was at a celebration for, it was an Asian church or club. No, it was a club. It was a nightclub, Asian club, and they were celebrating some change of the years, and the last I heard, they had him barricaded.
Oh, this happened in California. Was it California?
Yeah, I can look it up real quick, but yeah, this occurred late last night or very early this morning.
Wow.
And he just went and started shooting up people. 10 are dead now, and there's a whole bunch more that are injured. And the last I saw is they had his car and they had him held up in a barricade situation, but that was probably 3 hours ago that I saw that.
Wow. Wow. I didn't get a chance to see that. While you're looking it up, Mike, I want, what does abuse do to women, to a woman? physical abuse can cause many folks, listen to this. And like Dr. Demery and Mike said, if you can get out, find a way out. And that that's a double-edged sword, because many, but when you get out, you have to have a plan, because many of the abused, when they escape, that's when they become more vulnerable, because just like Morgan was saying in that clip we were playing earlier, is that the abuser feels he has nothing to lose now. If you have gotten away, so he ends up, and a lot of them will end up killing the girlfriend or the wife, and then turn the gun on themselves.
Yeah, it's one of those, if I can't have her, nobody's going to have her.
Oh, absolutely. There was an old saying, Dr. Jimmer and Mike, and you guys may have heard that before, and I think a lot of the guys that said it, I don't know for a fact, I think they were just doing it to get a chuckle. But you should hear a man say, you know, I beat my wife once a week, whether she needs it or not. You guys ever heard that before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Think about this. Some of those guys that saying that actually did it, or they're actually doing it. Okay. Maybe some other guys trying to be funny or whatever it is. I don't know what the stats are regarding that. But anyway, physical abuse can cause many changes, chronic, long lasting, health problems, including heart problems, high blood pressure, digestive problems. Women who are abused are also more likely to develop depression, anxiety, and or eating disorders. Women who are abused may also misuse alcohol, like you said, Mike, or drugs as a way to cope. You see? Now, abusers, a lot of abusers, alcohol or drugs come into play there. However, again, the person that being abused could end up using drugs or alcohol as a way to ease the pain, so to speak, or to cope with what's going on, you see. Why is domestic violence a big deal? Today, domestic violence is acknowledged as a serious, folks, I'm going to repeat that. Today, domestic violence is acknowledged as a serious. I don't know why today. Perhaps they didn't look at the harm or the cause, the harm, or the effect of it in the past. I think that's what it is, because I think many years ago, it was okay for a man to beat his woman. It was okay.
There is laws down south on the books within the last, I'm going to say 30 years, there were still laws on the books that you could beat your wife with a stick as long as it was no bigger around than your thumb. Within the last 50 years, those laws were still on the books.
I believe it. I've heard that before. I didn't know where it was. Dr. Dimmer, you heard of that?
No, I hadn't heard that, but it doesn't surprise me.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, you have to understand, at one time, and the women didn't work, okay? And the woman kept the house, okay? And the children, the laundry, the food and everything like that. And a lot of men looked at the woman as my woman, and the mentality of that, this person is mine. Okay. The slave type mentality. She belongs to me. And you've got, you got men today that look at her as a piece of property. Oh, yep. That's mine. She belongs to me. Okay, and that's why those laws were probably on the books in the first place, Mike, and that's why they're probably still there. I wouldn't doubt it.
They've been removed. To my knowledge, they've all been removed. But they were just archaic laws that nobody really paid much attention to. But when somebody actually looked them up, they started looking at other states and went, holy crap, holy, we can't have this on the books. So they were eliminated, rightfully so. Okay. So your question here, he was a gunman. He opened fire at a ballroom dance studio in Monterey Park on Saturday night, killing 10 and injuring 10 others. At 1 p.m. today, I'm assuming California time, SWAT team, they found his vehicle, which was a van, and they breached the van, and he was dead.
Mm.
So this all just unfolded this afternoon.
Isn't that something? And it doesn't say whether he turned the gun on himself or the police killed him, right?
Well, they said they breached the van. They didn't say shots fired. So it looks like exactly the scenario that you brought up a few moments ago where he took these people out and then took himself out.
That happens so often. You know, many, many cases that, and you know, you said, wow, you know, if his intent was to kill himself, then why take other people with you? I mean, why do that?
To punish them. To punish them. That was his way of having his last laugh. That was his way of giving society the finger.
Now, that's evil.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Today, domestic violence is acknowledged as a serious violent crime and part of society that harms women, increases child abuse, reduces medical resources, and endangers the lives and welfare of officers.
Oh yeah, those were the worst, like Dr. Demery brought up, those were the worst ones. And our problem with the sheriff's department is we're single man units and your backup maybe is 10, 15 minutes away. Sometimes if you're working Lytle Creek, your backup is maybe almost 30 minutes away, even if they're rolling code. So going to a domestic violence incident was always a real spooky one to handle because you could end up battling both of them. I love him. He needs to go to work in the morning. He didn't mean to do it. Yeah, there's all the excuses that the victim would come up with in order for us not to take him.
Right.
And it used to be back in the day, they had to press charges until they changed the domestic violence laws. All we had to see now is some sign that somebody was abused, that there was some physical sign.
Let me ask a question. I had heard that, let's say for instance, and I don't know, both of you guys are no better than I do on this. There's a domestic violence call. And the man hit or beat up the woman, but the woman hit back. I heard some situations where both went to jail.
Yes.
Okay.
Because a lot of times, I don't know what your terminology was. You were Redlands of PD, I believe, is what you said in the past. But we referred to that as mutual combat. Because this was kind of, and we responded to the same calls every week, or at least every other week or once a month. We knew the name, oh, it's the Johnsons again. The Johnsons are at it, beating the snot out of each other. And you'd roll to the same calls, and they'd both be whacking each other with sticks or gouging each other's eyeballs out. They'd both have black eyes, they'd have split lips, and with the new domestic violence laws, the only thing we could do, and the right thing, in my opinion, to do, is they both went to jail.
What if the wife was, what if it was self-defense on her behalf?
Well, self-defense, yeah, but here's the deal. In law enforcement, it's your job to determine if a crime may have been committed. So it's if a crime may have been committed. So when you show up there and they're both bloodied and battered and beaten up and they're both telling two conflicting stories, our job is not to figure out necessarily who's who in the zoo. Our job is to believe that, okay, there's a crime here. We don't know who started it. We don't know who finished it, but there's a crime here. So we'll let the courts do their job, which is determine guilt.
Wow. 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 Okay. Let's talk about, what is the highest? Yeah, we talked about this before. You brought up, Oklahoma being number one. Oklahoma, there's nothing to be proud of there. Okay. About 49.1%. Now, this is amazing.
Pretty high, isn't it?
49.1% of Oklahoma women and 40.7% of Oklahoma men. So they beating each other up at almost at an equal rate there, Mike.
If you read the header on that, it also talks about stalking and some other. It doesn't talk about necessarily physical abuse.
Uh-huh.
It talks about a couple other things which are lumped into that same category of domestic violence,
including intimate partner physical violence, intimate partner rape, or intimate partner stalking. You're exactly right about that. Let's see. Hold on one second. I want to do this one first.
But that's, you're talking about, for women, you're talking about half the population of Oklahoma.
That's what I'm talking about. Like I said, at an equal rate, just about.
Pretty close.
Yeah. Okay. What are the 11 types of abuse? Bullying and cyberbullying. Okay. I want to get into that a little bit too. Child sexual exploitation, child trafficking, criminal exploitation and gangs, domestic abuse, emotional abuse, female genital mutilation. Oh my goodness. Does that mean what I think it means? Wow. Grooming, fine. Oh my goodness. That's sick. All right. Now let's talk a little bit. I really want to try this. I talk about this a little bit. I want to talk about cyber, bullying. All right, gentlemen, I want to talk about cyber bullying because that is something that I don't think is, paid as much attention to as, the physical. I don't believe it is. And also I want to, say something to the parents out there that are not monitoring your children, using, these, high-tech devices such as, the iPhone that they have or that brand new, laptop or tablet or whatever it is. Because keep in mind, today's children, they, know computers back and forth. They know them better than they can work circles around me, with a computer, right? They can find out something. It might take me a while to find out or even find out where to look for certain things, but they know how to navigate themselves around these devices. They can look up anything that they want. And unless you can put a block of some type on these devices, I would advise that if you have a child, you want them to have a phone, let them have a phone that they can call. But if you're not planning on monitoring what they are watching, okay, or looking up or researching, then I think that you can do them a lot more harm than good. Dr. Demery, what's your take on that? And then let's go to you, Mike.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I am so glad. I mean, my daughter's 40 years old now, that I don't have to raise a child in this day and age. I mean, when my daughter was being raised, there were no computers. You know, there wasn't computers where she could just go jump on the internet. I didn't have to worry about monitoring what she was doing and all this other kind of stuff. But I think now a parent that does not monitor their child's use of the internet is being a recalcitrant. You know, I think they're being a Johnny Locross. Because if you're not monitoring on a very strict level nowadays, you're just asking for it. You're simply asking for it. It's not as much the kid's fault, it is the parent's fault for not proper parenting.
I agree. Because, you know, children are naturally curious anyway. And there was a story, and there was a program on TV, and what this program showed was how lax and how accessible perpetrators or children are to violent individuals or stalkers or potential rapists and things of that nature. And this father was absolutely blown away. For some reason, he allowed this particular I guess you're talking about the producers of this show. He allowed them to set his daughter up. And what he did by that, they set it up where it was an actor. This guy was an actor, but he was an older gentleman. And the dad left, or the daughter, dad was out of the daughter's sight. And this guy pretended to stalk her. Okay? And ended up, a young lady invited this stranger over to the home.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was when he was supposed to show up, and he did, I think, the dad was right behind him. And the dad was saying it absolutely made him sick to his stomach. Because what if this were an evil person? And what could have happened to his daughter? And it scared the daughter so badly that her dad busted her that she just broke down herself. Let's talk about this a little bit, Mike, because just like this guy that was on, he was hired by the Virginia State Police, and he drove cross country to California, and he kidnapped the girl and killed her mom and her grandparents. And I forgot what part of California that was in.
It ended up in 29 Palms, the pursuit after him, and he had the one girl in the car with him.
Right.
And they were pursuing him with, they were trying to catch up the SWAT teams. They were being surveilled by the helicopter at a distance, CHP and the Sheriff's Department, and they were waiting for ground units, the SWAT teams, to get close enough to stop this guy. And he ran off and got the car stuck. The girl jumped out of the car, ran to the arms of the officers. And then this guy ended up getting himself dead. But the internet's very, very scary. There's a couple of problems that I see in that you can pretend to be anything on the internet.
That's right.
You know, I could show you a picture and pretend to be a 12-year-old old girl. And I can make that happen on the internet. So you have this anonymity that is possible with regard to the internet, which is real scary because our young people, they're naive. I'm not saying they're dumb, but they're naive. They haven't quite learned the ways of the world. That's why you would have parental guidance, and those parents that aren't guiding their children, like Dr. Demery mentioned, you know, shame on them. If you're going to be a parent, then make sure you're a good parent. Don't just crank out kids to say, hey, look at that. He's a spitting image of me. That's not a good way to become a parent. If you're going to become a parent, be a parent that's involved in their life and raises them to be a productive member of society. So, and that includes monitoring all these devices. And I think what you said, as far as just having the telephone, just give them a phone that doesn't have internet access would be great. They can still call 911 and do those things. The parental blocks that you can put on computers, whether they're laptops or tablets or phones, the kids know how to get around that for the most part. So that doesn't work so well. But then if they're going to have access to the internet, then you need to monitor that internet and monitor the amount of time they spend on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Because children, even adults, spend way too much time surfing the internet over stuff that doesn't matter at all. It's just garbage. Mm-hmm. Just garbage. You know, it's like following the Kardashians. I have nothing against the Kardashians, but I mean, they're famous for being famous. They didn't, you know, what have they done? And again, I don't need cards and letters. If you have complaints, make sure you send them to William Brown and care of Studio W. the other problem I have with cybercrime like this, and what makes it so scary to me, if you're in school, let's say you're in high school, and you get bullied at school and the bully beats you up. You go home with your black eye and your hard knocks and you're beat up and you're demoralized. I'm not taking anything away from that. So you got bullied and hopefully people will pay attention and make sure it doesn't happen again. Here's the issue with the internet. The psychological side of the internet is so devastating. So devastating. People have killed themselves over being bullied over the internet with not one hand ever being touched upon them.
That's right.
So which would you rather get? Not that either one is good. Would you rather get beat up by a bully at school? Or would you rather kill yourself because you've been torn apart and demoralized to such a point where your self-esteem is just doesn't exist anymore and there's no reason for you to live anymore and you end up killing yourself? And this happens over and over and over.
It does, you know, and it happens a lot among teenagers. You know, high school, in most high schools, there's always a popularity contest. Everybody wants to be popular. Everybody wants to be liked. And a lot of children have committed suicide because they were bullied. You're exactly 1,000,000% correct, Mike. They have committed suicide. And it is so painful to them that, can you imagine, something is so painful psychologically that you want to end your own life at the age of 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. That, I mean, it is devastating. And I think that it is understated. And some schools, and hats off to the schools that are doing this, have addressed this bullying issue. You know, and some are anti, bully-free zones or anti-bullying, campuses.
Yeah, how's that working out for them though?
You're right, Mike.
And you got gun-free zones, the schools are all gun-free zones, and where are a lot of mass shootings occurring? Gun-free zones, with guns. So, you know, yeah, that's all the topic.
Well, you know, I tell you what, I think that if I were a principal of the school, I'm sure that you and Dr. Dimmer would feel the same way, and you would make it a major issue knowing the problem that bullying caused. Okay? This is something that will be high on my list to make sure that it doesn't happen in my school. If I were in charge of that school, there'll be something that will not, definitely not be tolerated. The people doing that should be punished. You don't do that. You know, nobody wants to go home and find their child dead because they decided to take their own life because they were bullied. And I tell you what, our educational system, in a lot of cases, there's a lot to be desired there, because I think they could do a lot more to protect our children. They could do a lot more. That the young boy, 6 years old, that shot the teacher. Okay, and I last I heard about that, the parents said that the gun was secured. Well, I don't understand that, because the gun was secured, then how did the child get the hand?
Obviously not. And evidently the child had a lot of mental health issues, and I believe they said in one article that I read that generally a parent or some guardian accompanied that child to the school.
They had some information that the child had a gun. This is what I heard. I don't know what information, what did you hear, Mike? That they had some indication that the child had a weapon.
Yeah. That's what I've heard also. I don't know where that came from. I don't know how true it is, but he obviously had access to it.
Apparently. Now, also, another recent development.
Can I stop you for a second, William? Are we going to go till 5 o'clock or 5:15?
We're going to go till 5 o'clock, unfortunately, because I have to prepare for the other show. Okay. And then we'll go.
I've got one or two things I want to get in that are important before we finish up.
Why don't we do that? Because then we'll have a part two. How about that?
Okay, well, let's Dr. Demery, let's have you jump in before I start rattling off.
Oh no, go ahead, Mike. Take your time. Go ahead.
You ready to go, sir?
Yeah, please.
All right. So I wanted to cover the warning signs one more time. Frustration, misplacement of blame, increased loss of their temper, frequent physical fighting, increased use of alcohol and drugs, and increased risk behavior. Remember the lady that was talking during the video? She said, he reached over and took the keys out of the ignition while I was driving.
Yes.
Increased risk behavior. I'm going to be short here because I want to make sure you guys all have your chance to say stuff. What is here? I'm not supposed to ask you questions.
No.
Highest rate of domestic abuse by profession worldwide. Highest rates of domestic abuse, of domestic violence by profession worldwide. And it's a 1 to 10 list, or 10 to 1 list, I should say. You ready for this?
Yeah, please.
This one I didn't know. This one I just looked up yesterday or the day before. In the number 10 spot, the National Hockey League.
What?
Whoa. By profession, highest rates of domestic abuse by profession. The wow. National Hockey League. Number 9 position, the NFL.
Whoa.
Number 8 position, MMA fighters.
Okay.
Number 7 position, anybody that deals with customer service.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. And again, I welcome you guys to look this stuff up, and who knows who came up with this, but I'm looking at it, it looks pretty credible to me. So number 7 slot is somebody that works in customer service.
Okay.
Number 6 slot are clerks, which is kind of goes along with customer service. You have to deal with the public. So
right.
You get frustrated, right? Number five thought is anybody that works in the textile industries. I'm not sure how that, why that fits in, but it does. So number five is textile industry. Number four, this is a shocker for me, nurses.
No, no way.
Nurses.
Nurses are caregivers. Nurses are caregivers.
I know some nurses that will go Tasmanian devil on you, so I, again. Number three position, I can understand this, but soldiers.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't say male or female, it just says soldiers.
Uh-huh.
Now these last two, aren't a big surprise to me at all, and I'll bet both of you could probably figure them out, because they're both related, really. Number two slot is somebody that's a correctional officer.
Yes.
So they work in prisons or jails. Number one slot, and I'm quite ashamed to admit this, but I believe it, because I watched it happen too many times, and I'm too aware of so many times it has occurred and still occurs, but police officers.
Wow.
So those are by profession. And then the last thing I've got, and I'll shut up and let you guys finish out, but how to break away from all of this. So this is the recommendations, and I believe this is a good way to go, and I believe the lady that talked about this on the video that you, the audio that we got to listen to earlier, was to reach out and talk to somebody. She said to get out, she told everybody, she told strangers, she told family, she told friends, she told work people, so talk about it. Make a plan. Don't just walk away, because you're probably going to get out of the house with nothing but the clothes on your back, and then the police, like us, have to go back and rescue your children and take you to a domestic violence shelter. So have some kind of a plan. Work on your self-confidence. You aren't the evil, stupid, fat, ugly, ignorant person that no one would ever want to be with. And you've got to convince yourself of those things. So work on your own self-confidence. Set boundaries. Now, when you're dealing with somebody in domestic violence, how many boundaries can you set? I'm not so sure about that one. Mm. And then know your rights. Know that this person can't control you. You're not a prisoner. You're not a slave. So know your rights and how you can get out and get out effectively and make a plan. And the last thing I want to do, and this is a little bit graphic for anybody who's watching the video, at the beginning of our show tonight, we had the lady talk about, she gave her story about domestic violence, how it happened, why she never left, and how she got out and survived it and moved on with her life. That was the story of domestic violence. I'm going to show you the face of domestic violence. I have permission to show you this. This is my friend Stevie. She was in a very violent domestic relationship. So this is a little bit graphic. If you don't want to see it, look away or turn your computer the other way or whatever you have to do. She gave me permission to use this photo because she wants everybody to see that face of what happened to her. She wants people to know that and be somewhat shocked by that, so that this is serious and this is how serious it is. And this really isn't all that graphic compared to some of the other stuff I've seen. So I'm going to put it up now. It's coming up. And I want you to look at her eyes. Mm. Look at her eyes.
Wow. They look dark. Very dark. They look very dark and it looks like she's looking out into space or.
That's that 1,000-yard stare they talk about. It looks like her soul is dead.
Oh my goodness.
She was woken up by her abuser with a 2x4 to the head.
Wow.
And this, by the way, this picture was after the nurses already cleaned her up a little bit.
That's amazing.
So now you heard the story of domestic violence. We talked about domestic violence, and now you're seeing the face of domestic violence.
That's absolutely horrible. It's horrible. And who?
So that's my sister, and she's living in Texas and doing very well, by the way, now.
And who would do that to somebody they say they love?
Exactly.
She's lucky to be alive.
A 2x4 to the head? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Man, oh man. So Mike, what happened? I talked to Dr. Sims earlier, and like I said, again, she apologized for not being able to come on, and she was wondering if we would, continue the dialogue on this. And I think, this is what we're going to do. Instead of going a little bit over today, we'll just do a part two.
I'd love to. I'd like the lady's perspective.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to do a part two on that, because I think this is something that, we can't talk about, enough, because there's too much going on, and, it'd be, we've been going for 2 hours, and it's very difficult to cover all of this information, and Mike has more as well. And, when you come back, Mike, and I think we're going to do it this coming week, next week rather, we're going to talk about that program, that you were very much involved with called the Gift of Love Program. And Dr. Demarest also talked about how he has information about shelters and safe havens for, these women and children. And so I really want Ann and Dr. Sims in on this conversation, but we had a good discussion today, I believe, disseminated a lot of information. And the most important thing is how to get out of the situation. And like Mike says, you know, have a plan. You want to make sure that you have a plan. Tell everybody. See, a lot of these guys, they are bullied. They bully their wives. They bully their children, but they are actually cowards. They are actually cowards, and they don't want other people to know exactly what they're doing, Dr. Demery. That's why they isolate their victims. Your take, sir.
Yep.
Well, I would say you're absolutely right, William, and I speak from the point of, you know, of the ministry. There are a lot of ministry personnel that are involved in domestic violence, and it's a shame because they're kind of like a wolf in sheep's clothing. The very people that they're supposed to protect, they're the ones that are the wolves in sheep's clothing. And so, you know, you'd be surprised. There's a lot of ministers' wives that are victims of domestic violence because the preacher themselves is the perpetrator. And we can talk more about that next time as well.
Right. And Mike, you know, I'm surprised. Yeah. I'm surprised that ministers aren't on that list of top 10. I really am. We had one young lady. I don't know whether you were on the program with me or not, Dr. Demery, whether we interviewed this lady or not, or it was just me. That was she was a former preacher's wife, Mike, and she was talking about how they had the perfect family, the white picket fence, and they were also counselors in the church. They were counseling abused women, and she was one of the women being abused.
How do you think I feel looking at this list? And number one is the police, cops being on abusers.
Well, I know you, Mike, and that doesn't sit well with you at all. And I understand that. I understand that, brother. So anyway, more to come, Mike, Dr. Demery. Dr. Demery, tell everyone, where is the Mentone Congregational Church?
Mentone Congregational Church is on the corner of Darrell and Highway 38, Ligonia Avenue in Redlands. Turns into Highway 38, right in the corner of Barrel Highway 38. When you see the three crosses, you have found the church. We have services every Sunday at 10 a.m., and everyone is welcome. We don't turn anyone away.
And they feed you too, Mike. They feed you. Yeah.
If you walk up the street from where his church is at, you'll find the Green Spot store where you'll find some of the finest jerky in all of Southern California.
Oh, yeah.
I've had it before. It's great.
Oh, man. I missed that. Oh, my goodness. Hey, Mike, will you tell the audience what goes on Thursday nights there, my friend?
I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
No, you are. But we have so much fun.
I'll do you one more. Let me give out that number one more time, and then I'll get into Thursday night. So
okay.
if you're a victim of domestic violence and you can't see the screen, the number is 800-799-7233. One more time. It's 800-799-7233. And they will talk to you as long as you need to talk to them. And on Thursday nights, William and I, we put our silly hats on. We take our serious hats off and we put our silly hats on, and we play all kinds of different music from any genre you could ever think of. Anything from big bands to current rock and roll, to Motown, to R&B, to jazz and blues. All of it's fair game, and we have a great time bringing forth new artists or artists that you've never heard of that maybe have done a a cover song. It did it as good as the original, if not better. So we try to influence or bring into the mix not just songs, but different versions of songs or things you've never heard before, to kind of widen your horizons with regard to music. And I'm having a blast doing it, and I'm learning a lot doing it because I've always been involved in music. But as I do research, and I know William does the same thing for each show on Thursday, we look up some of the background with the songs, and we try to bring young artists and unknown artists to the forefront.
Oh, man, it's so much fun. And you can count on me and Mike, or me or Mike saying something stupid each and every week. You can count on that. It's going to happen.
More than once.
It's going to happen, I promise you. But it is a lot of fun. And what happens is that, like Mike said, we play different genres of music. So you get the whole, I mean, you get a variety of music to listen to. And I guarantee you there are songs that you've never heard before. Mike will come with some songs that I've never heard of, and vice versa. So we just have a blast. And also, we play your requests, don't we, Mike?
Absolutely. And if you send us pictures, we'll put them up in the backdrop here. So if you've got just cool pictures or pictures you've taken yourself, or you want to put Fifi up here on the page, we'll put your dog Fifi up here too. It's all having fun on Thursday nights.
It's a blast.
Take your mind off of what's going on in society all the time.
It is an absolute blast. So anyway, folks, that's our time.